Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions. Whether you need a new warehouse line, hedging, or are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday to you. This is another day in paradise of mortgage land. More news, more events, more going on again, and we have so much to talk about. What is going to probably keep this broadcast a little bit shorter is I've got to jump in an airplane and fly out to New Hampshire to work with one of our clients. And so this will probably be a bit of an abbreviated broadcast. And another reason is Alice Alvey is off, traveled across the pond over to the UK and is enjoying a little bit of a vacation over there, but showing up consistently and true to form every single week is Joe Farr to give us the latest on rates. Joe, welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Hi, Dave. Thank you.
Today, their prices look like the MBS prices are up just a tad. Let's get into what's happening today, and then if we could go take a look out the rearview mirror, Joe, and look at what happened last week.
Okay. Yeah, today, MBS prices are up about 4/32 from where they ended Friday. It's been a fairly quiet morning, not a lot of activity. Leading indicators came in pretty much right as expected, so it wasn't a market-moving event, but last week was a really a pretty interesting week in that we saw the best of both worlds. We saw some fairly strong economic results, and I'll go into a couple of those. At the same time, we saw tame inflation. So mortgage rates would ordinarily have reacted negatively to the strong economic reports, but that coupled with the tame inflation really kind of offset the negative, and we ended the week pretty much where we began. So it's I guess the best of all worlds if you could consistently go forward with strong economic reports and no inflation.
If we could just stay in this territory that we're at right now and have some consistency of rates, it's just going to be such an important thing. Is there anything else significant about last week? It seemed like there was a lot going on. I know my schedule was jammed up, packed full, and we're certainly busier than we ever have been as far as a consulting firm's going on, but anything else going on? I see some notes that you sent over here in the Empire State, and what's going on there with their index and the Philly index?
Yeah, the economic news last week, and any one of these reports can move the market. Retail sales is one of the most important events for the month, and they retail sales were significantly higher than expected, the increase of 2.7%. And that coupled with very good manufacturing data from the New York Empire State Index and the Philly Fed Index, all very positive for what it says about the economic recovery, that maybe we have bottomed out and we're starting to head back up. Any week you have both CPI and PPI, you have to pay attention. CPI and PPI are very directly telling investors do they need to anticipate higher future inflation, in which case they would need to increase the yields that they demand on long-term fixed-rate mortgages. And so the fact that during the week, the core CPI announcement, the core is that which does not include the impact of food and energy, rose at a very tame 1.4%. That's the smallest annual rate of increase in the last 4.5 years. Core PPI came in very low as well. So, we do have some pickup in activity, but it's not flowing through in the form of increased inflation. So this, a very tame week last week.
We just got a text that came in, a brief comment says, what's the difference between the New York State index and the Philly index, Dave, and it's mostly more of what's happening in the regional areas. Is that not correct?
That's exactly it. The New York is really in that region up in the upper northeast part of the country. The Philly Fed is a little broader index, so I think people put a little more weight on the Philly Fed, but both are indications of manufacturing activity, and so both were a little better than expected.
Well, you know what? We can do a play on words here. In Texas, we have the Willie Index, the Willie Nelson Index. But that's another matter. <I don't know. laughs> the Philly and the Willie. Let's talk about what's going on this week. There's a big week, Joe, that you were talking to me about just before the program, what's going on, the Treasury auctions and the Fed meeting. There's not a lot on the economic calendar, if I understood you correctly, but there's there is some potential with what's going on in the auctions and the Fed meeting.
Yeah, the durable orders is about the only significant economic event on the calendar next week, and that's not until Friday. And between now and then, it's really just two things. One is Treasury auctions. There's a record $112 billion in Treasuries to be auctioned off during auctions on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Those are the two, the five, and the seven-year auctions.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, we keep expecting those auctions to have an impact in that there's just so much. There's so much Treasury debt being issued that at some point you think people are going to stop buying.
Yeah.
But the demand's been good. And so yields have remained low, but always a reason to keep a close watch out. Those auctions are announced at 1 o'clock Eastern time each day, and we'll see how much demand and what kind of yield changes are come along with those. But to me, and for mortgage people, the more direct and more significant event this week is going to be the conclusion at the conclusion of the Fed meeting, which will be Wednesday at 2:15 Eastern time. We can expect them to make their customary announcement at the end of the meeting. And that announcement most likely is going to say, you know, we're going to keep Fed funds rates where they are. But significant to the mortgage-backed securities market, which is the thing that mortgage rates are tied to, is going to be, are they going to answer the question, what are we going to do regarding purchases of mortgage-backed securities going forward? As we've talked about in the past, Dave, they have announced a total of $1.25 trillion in mortgage-backed securities to buy. That represents, and that's to be purchased by the end of the year. They're on track to do that. They're buying $25 billion a week, and at that pace, they'll just about run out of the capacity that they've announced by the end of the year. But what's going to happen then? There are some people that have even said, maybe we don't need to buy all that. So a couple Fed governors have said that. So Wednesday at 2:30, I would hope they'll give the market some direction. I don't think that they'll say we're going to stop the purchases early. I think that they'll conclude at least the $1.25 trillion. But the question is, are they going to do anything more than that?
That's the big question.
Yeah.
And the Fed buying, Joe, represents as much as 80% of all the MBS agencies' MBS. Is that correct?
That is very close to that, and just think about how significant that is. If the buyer of 80% of what's produced stops buying, somebody's got to take up the slack. And are they going to require higher yields in order to attract those new buyers?
Well, there is certainly a lot to be watching for this week as it relates to the Fed meeting, and hopefully everyone will be dialed in. Joe, if they were to, I'm sure they'll be covered on the various news networks, the business news networks. Fox, I know Fox Business will have it. I'm assuming CNBC will have they'll be trying. But also, they can go off to your website. I'm sure you're going to be reporting on some of that, will you not?
We will, and in fact, on our website, you can see the market reaction to the announcement. We offer live MBS prices, and at 2:15, when they make their announcement, you know, it's not recently, it's been very common that whatever they have done or said has caused the market to move significantly higher or lower. Now, you need to be a member to get onto our website, but we do offer a two-week free trial, and during that two-week free trial, you'll have full access, full member access, and it would really be, if you're at all interested in the movement of mortgage rates, it's a great day, a great time to be looking at what impact that announcement might have on mortgage rates. It could be, Dave, that they announce sort of what's expected, which is we're going to buy the $1.25 trillion and we're going to gradually slow it down, and you know, we might even add a little bit on the end. Who knows? If that's the case, there's not going to be a huge reaction. But certainly if they cut it off early, there'll be a huge reaction.
Yeah.
And I also think that if they just say we're absolutely going to stop at the $1.25 trillion, there might be a negative reaction in the marketplace. So interesting time to look, though.
It would be certainly a time as we get closer to some of these events that people need to be paying attention to this as it relates to their own pipelines and how to advise their clients. And more consumers are looking to you, loan officers, for this type of information, and you need to be staying up, and there's one website you can go to. And we look forward to encourage you to get there and start looking at this. The fact that you get access, free access to this valuable information for free for 2 weeks on a look-see basis is probably one of the things. That's what hooked me, Joe.
Yeah.
It's great contact. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Good to have you back, and we appreciate you tuning in. This is an important time in our industry, and we're really at some really interesting crossroads of some events that are happening. And again, as we our purpose of this program is to really help you, the listener, most of which are mortgage participants, those involved in the mortgage industry and the real estate industry, or the realtors. A good number, increasing number of listeners, Joe, are coming out of from the realtor section. So we got, I know, started with some friends of ours that started listening to it, and they've passed around. And so an increasing number of realtors are saying, we got to stay up in this. Keep us in mind. So you may be hearing some. Go ahead.
We have talked in the past about affordability and what's more significant to a realtor than having a very affordable market, low interest rates and low home prices make for lots of deals.
And wouldn't it make sense also for someone to tune into, to use your service if they're a realtor? My goodness, I would assume that they're alongside the loan officers. They're oftentimes making some of the calls. So do you have a lot of realtors or any realtors that are signed up on your service, Joe?
You know, we don't have a lot, Dave, because they tend to kind of count on the loan originator for direction in that regard. But it's certainly good for you to know. It's good for you as a realtor to sort of know where rates are, where they've been, are they getting better, have they gotten worse, and what are the risks going forward. And so absolutely, I would love to see more realtors come check us out and see if it doesn't generate a comfort level in the realtor as to what's going on.
Well, I just got a couple of texts that came in that says, we're listing, we're trying to get educated, trying to stay up with the mortgage talk is what they're doing. So I think there's a number of them that shoot in questions, and I sometimes wonder if it's not the realtors that are trying to gain understanding and insights to the interest rates and the volatility, what's going to be happening, the anticipated volatility that might be we might be seeing towards the end of the year as that $1.25 trillion, as the Feds conclude that program. It's largely anticipated, by many within the Beltway, that they're going to come back and announce another program beyond that. But again, a lot of it depends on, you know, how many other people are out there wanting to bid on this product. We would normally go into the section today about the legislative update. There is not a lot happening as it relates to some of the bills, and Alice does such a great job of digesting that. And so, Alice, we're thinking of you over there in Britain and over in London, and I hope you're thoroughly enjoying yourself. We look forward to having you back on the program. But there were some developments, Joe, that did take place, and you read a spot, and I was trying to scramble to find the information, but last week there was some talk about combining four regulatory institutions. Did you get some more information on that? Could you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, I did. Senator Dodd is proposing a plan to merge the Federal Reserve, the FDIC, the Office of Thrift Supervision, and the OCC, all into one. And you know, the theory behind, or what he says, the theory behind the merging is that, one, he thinks that there's some inefficiencies and some redundancies which you could eliminate, and boy, I'm all for that. And then there, the other thing that he says is that there has been an opportunity to sort of pick a regulator, and doesn't think that that's an appropriate thing to have happen. And you know, he looks to the fact that what has happened is a result of having multiple different regulators instead of one super regulator, and kind of says, you know, maybe we can improve upon this. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you want to have one great big giant regulator, but
I tell you that I'm a little bit questioning what's behind that. Anytime Senator Dodd and Senator Barney Frank get together and they're talking about, you know, changing up certain aspects, certainly there's been some changes needed, but you know, always wonder, a little bit suspicious, what's behind it. Want to dive into it a lot more, look at it a lot more closely. So also, I noticed in the NBA news link today, and by the way, we were trying to get the NBA to come on and be a guest with us today. It was just too short notice, and they're working through. We're going to have them discuss with you, the listener, and have a discussion online here about their proposal about combining Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. There's a lot of combining. They're talking, we're not even combining them, it's just doing away with them, launching several new entities. So we'll be talking more about that, and hopefully we'll have someone from the NBA on the radio program to discuss this. But Barney Frank is also a note is aggressively working the schedule or committee schedule for the hearings and markups on the proposed regulatory reform and the consumer protection legislation. And there appears that there's just really trying to hustle that through. I'm sure we're going to having a lot more to talk about it. They're all getting busy back in house for healthcare and health reform has been healthcare reform has been dominating so much of their time and interest, but this is moving along. So stay tuned. We will have some more updates for you there. Also, Joe, there's some developments on FHA risk-related changes that are coming down. Could you give us a quick word on that?
Yeah, FHA is going to propose, or has proposed, and I don't know if they're in comment letters yet or not, but they're proposing to let's start out by FHA has now said that they expect that their regulatory capital is going to fall short of what's expected by Congress, and that's a 2% measure. They expect that that's going to come out as the recent audit of their capital, you know, structure and strength is going to come out and say that they're short, and kind of getting ahead of that, they're proposing some changes to their risk structure, which could be somewhat significant.
Yeah,
don't know quite how much, but they're proposing to increase their required FICO scores, and you know, that can have a significant impact on some of your customers that are just now getting by because FHA is there.
Yeah. But it also comes in and impacts. We have so many clients that we're working with, and I encourage anyone that's listening to the program, go on and subscribe to our newsletter. You can go to it and find it on our website, mortgagebankingsolutions.com, and subscribe to the newsletter. We keep you informed on some of these issues that are going on. But the one of the big issues, Joe, for so many of them is their compare ratio has crept up. And it's most of our clients and a lot of our clients are seeking their Ginnie Mae approval. And you start looking at the compare ratio is one of the first things we go to look at. Well, the biggest problem is some of them that were doing streamlines has had a negative impact on their compare ratio. And then also when it comes to the FICOs, those that were trying to play at the low end of the FICO range, we watch Taylor Bean and Whitaker were consistently buying below what other more conservative investors were buying at. In fact, the Wall Street Journal picked up on some of my comments this last week. On Thursday this last week, they quoted me in an article about Taylor Bean and Whitaker and the fact that they have bought lower than others in the marketplace. So we're in a place right now where we're seeing the pressure to raise FICOs, raise our credit standards, and you know what? That's going to cut out a percentage or a segment of the buying market. And so there's this balance, Joe, always trying to find where should we be resting on this really delicate balance of encouraging new homeowners into the market, but some of them have had credit problems and their FICO score has been impacted. So it's kind of a wait to see, but and there's certainly no answers in this clear answers. We want to see the FICO stores, the programs be as inclusive as possible to get as many people back into the housing market as possible, and HUD programs are there. But two issues, FICO scores going up, it's all response to the fact that the reserve, the fund, the FHA fund, is been dramatic. It's starting to look like Lake Travis here in Texas. If you don't all know, we have got we've had a serious drought going. We're hoping that an El Nino will be setting it up, and I think they're hoping for an El Nino in this economy and the housing to fill up some of our reservoirs from some of the losses that have been incurred. Also, the net worth requirement. There were some rumors this last week that HUD is increasing their net worth requirement to $1 million.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, one of the ways that they can save their reserves is to, if there are issues that went along with the origination of the loan, if there were any improprieties or inappropriately documented loans, they want to be able to put those back and put the losses back to the originator. The current minimum net worth requirement for an FHA lender is $250,000, which maybe really isn't quite enough. They're proposing now that it be
right
up to $1 million. And so, as I say, it's to keep the originators with some skin in the game, and it's just a way for them to say, if this loan should not have been made, we shouldn't have to take the loss, you should. And that's kind of a long time coming, I think. But, you know, you mentioned the borrowers that are going to just be under that higher FICO score not being served. It is a difficult balancing act, and it's one that, you know, I think that Fannie and Freddie had a very hard time doing. FHA is, you know, being a tool of the government is much more, its direction is to make homes affordable and to provide financing for homes. So I'd hate to see them go too high, but we do want them to be secure, because if they weren't there, they represent 40% of the market right now. So if they weren't there and we couldn't do FHA loans, we'd be hard-pressed to serve many, many of the people we do serve now.
That is so true, Joe. And I mean, we're certainly dealing with the indigestion of the last business cycle, and then now we're trying to keep, you know, encouraging new home ownership and continue to the development of our what it seems to be a fairly significant or there's significant evidence of a solid recovery forming here, at least in the housing sector. So we want to keep it long here, but man, we're still dealing with the past. So let's take a brief break for this word.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry. Whether you need a new warehouse line, or making the transition from broker to banker, are interested in mergers and acquisitions, or anything in between, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging,
financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back. This is Lickin' on Lending. We're talking about the issues that are facing our industry, that are facing the mortgage industry. Brief note, as we go back into this segment, it may not have been a clear. The current net worth requirement to be approved with FHA is currently $250,000. What we're talking about is the fact that there's some talk in the market, there's some chatter out there, some on the blogs and you almost wonder if this is not Joe being floated out by HUD about what will be the impact if they raise the net worth requirements to $1 million. So I want to make sure all our listeners clearly understand it is still at 250. In fact, I was quoting it as already going up this week when I was talking to one of our staff, and I had to get corrected on it because, I mean, we're anticipating it going up. It seems logical. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are now, as of the end of this year, all up over $2.5 million. Jenny Mae has increased theirs to $1 million. I think that's when you have Jenny Mae at $1 million and FHA HUD still at $250. There's some confusion. So it's anticipated to go up, but I want to make sure we're clear for all our listeners. It is still at $250,000 net worth requirement is all it takes for you to get approved with HUD, and you can get in now. But if they change it like they did with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you'll get grandfathered in for a little bit of a time, and then they will start ratcheting up the net worth requirements if, in fact, they make this and change. But it is anticipated, so get your HUD application in now so that you at least get in under the wire. And part of the note for many of you that do not know this, we have a staff that is dedicated to completing those HUD applications, the Jenny Mae applications. We have a very good success rate of the approval rate of getting those through Jenny Mae and HUD. And so contact us. We'd be thrilled to help you as you go out to consider making that application. We know how to put the package together, and we'll get it through the door the first time through. Joe, there's also been some developments on HVCC. A lot of talk about what's going on there. Do you have an update for us there?
Well, first let me add to the FHA changes we just talked about. Actually, there's an HVCC component to that, but those changes are styled to be effective January 1st, according to what the HUD proposed, yeah.
Oh, so the HVCC component or the net worth?
All of them. The
higher
FICO scores, increased risk, or the increased capital requirements. And the HVCC component of what FHA's discussing now is to make their appraisal and appraiser relationship requirements more similar to Fannie and Freddie and more like HVCC. I know that they've kind of been close, but they're just trying to emphasize the need for appraiser independence. And the policies that they propose are very similar to what you'll see in HVCC. They won't say you're required to use an appraisal management company, but they will say that no loan officers can order an appraisal or can be involved in communications with the appraiser, very much like the HVCC does.
Well, it's there's so much happening, whether it was at the regulatory front, just keeping track of what's going on out there with HUD. I mean, and we're with the radio program, we're tracking this and trying to stay in. Four of us are, Joe and Scott and Alice and a number of members of her staff are trying to stay on top of all this. It is almost impossible to digest all that is happening. It is so rapid. It is so fast and so important. There was an interesting comment, Joe, that you caught in the news this last week where it went through the Senate that they tacked on to some legislation that was going through about the need, that HUD and Jenny should be aware of the need creating warehouse financing. Could you shed a little light on what you read? I know it's just a quick blurb. We don't have a lot on it, but let's bring that out.
Well, it was in one of the House bills that action was moved forward on, where they were just saying that the legislature was telling the agencies the regulators, basically, that there is a need out there for warehouse lending and to encourage making it available. So, very, very positive, nothing very specific, but certainly positive that they would send that signal.
That is encouraging here. And there's been talk, gotten to know Joe Murin, who used to be the president of Ginnie Mae, and he was a real strong advocate for our industry to bring liquidity to the markets, or to the mortgage industry, specifically warehousing liquidity. And there is evidence, Joe, that a lot of liquidity is starting to open up, and interesting enough, at the community bank level. And so we have had an increasing number of calls from community bankers or from mortgage bankers that are talking to their community banker about this opportunity. And so Alice and I are already working on one bank up in Michigan that is getting into the warehouse banking program, warehouse lending program. And there are others that are now calling. We have several calls coming in from California. We have another one from the East Coast. And so if you're a mortgage banker and you're concerned about your warehouse line being there in the future, one of the things you might want to do, what others are doing, is getting a hold of your local community banker. And Joe, you were kind of a community bank. Well, I guess Guardian was a little bit bigger than that years ago, but you've done a great job. You have a fair amount of time in the banking world. How would you say the best way I know I'm hitting this with you kind of out of the blue, but what's the best way to go and approach these guys? Is it sit down with them, pick up the phone, and call them?
Well, certainly a relationship is essential. And so when you look at warehouse lending from a banker's perspective, you have multiple levels of repayment. You have the planned sale of that loan. And if that doesn't work out, you have the planned liquidation of that loan via a customer ultimately. And thirdly, you generally have the guarantees of the people running the business. So you have multiple ways to collect your money. And from that perspective, it should be a minimal risk in a loan. And with the turn times that we see most warehouse lines operate under, it's like what you lend today is going to get paid back within the next couple of weeks. So, from that perspective, it's very, very risk-free. But the concerns that bankers have right now are operational. Because if you're not operating properly, you could wind up having to spend all your liquidity on buybacks or inefficient operations, and they'd wind up being stuck trying to liquidate those loans. And so, if you can convince your banker that you have strong controls, that you're knowledgeable of where you are, you're making money, and you know how to turn your pipeline, then you ought to be able to get a warehouse line.
There is good amount of liquidity coming back into the markets. We're seeing more and more evidence of it. We're aware of at least four various companies that are in deep talks with Nat City, which was acquired or was merged with PNC, and the fact that that operation is out there, and PNC has indicated their interest of not staying involved in warehousing, and so they've been finding a suitor that to take over that operation. And for those that we get a lot of inquiries, what's the status of Nat City? At this point, I would say that it's better than it was looking a lot better than it was 90 days ago. Is probably the best thing to report. We stay up and stay very much informed of what's going on in the world of warehousing. But I'll tell you, there's another area that we're finding, Joe, that is consistently turning out to be more of a problem for mortgage bankers, and it's their audit of financial statements. It's the way they're doing their bookkeeping. It is a real problem that if you don't have consistency in the way you're accounting for your operation, it can lead to some real problems when you're in talking to the warehouse banker. And we have a service we call CFOs to Go, and it is really that CFO being the chief financial officer. And we have my business partner, Andy Shell, which is a CPA, a CMB, and an MBA. He's the guy with all the degrees in our group. And he is very busy working with a number of mortgage companies. And these are fairly sophisticated companies, Joe, that we're finding where the financials don't tie out. Some really what would seem elementary issues are out there. And so if you have, and you're listening to this program, you have any questions, whether or not you feel good about your financials, or most everyone says, you know what, I know I got a problem there. It's just one of those things, until something goes seriously wrong, we don't really pay attention to it. I'm telling you, I'm encouraging you to go take a look at those financials. We are doing a number of reviews for companies that have had warehouse lines, Joe, and now we're going in and doing, they're applying for a second or a third warehouse facility, and that's where we're turning up the problems. Out of the last 40 reviews, you would not believe the number of issues related to, when we're talking about reviews, we do warehouse banking reviews for new lines for on mortgage companies. And we're coming into, and we're discovering an increasing number of companies are struggling with how they are doing their financial reporting. And it's creating some issues for them.
You know, To add a more significance to being able to produce an audit, and you know you're currently required to produce an audit for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and another one of the proposals at FHA is that you will be required to submit an audited financial statement.
Yes.
And so you know you ought to be anyway, but just one more reason.
Well, what's another thing is a lot of people say, well, I'll get some financial advice from my auditor. Well, you know, you can't, if you go to your auditor for financial advice and how to structure the thing, they cannot, by regulation or by, they'd be violating the rules, the separation, that the independence that they need by going in and offering you advice. They have to stay separate. So that's why so many companies are turning to us and turning specifically to our CFO to go service to really get their financials analyzed. Am I doing it right? And getting that resolved before they go in. And it takes forever to get through these agencies to get an approval, especially HUD and Ginnie Mae right now. Their backup times are so busy because of the success and how popular their programs are, Joe. There's so many people trying to go through the system and get approved that you want to make sure that that package is perfect, all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted when they open it up and everything's there so they can just keep moving it along. It's what happens is if they find some exception, find some questions in any of the areas, but a lot of it has to do with the financials, that it just puts it off at the end of the pile, and you can find that approval process can drag on for months and months and months. And we could go a lot more into that, and we're going to be having Alice back next week. Joe, before we cut for this program and run, do you have any parting comments, any words of wisdom for our audience?
Well, I just suggest you be aware, and if you want to see live pricing, live reaction to the Fed comments, come check out our service and sign up for a free trial at www.mbsquoteline.com, and be on at 2:15 Eastern Time Wednesday.
Well, I appreciate everyone tuning in. We thank you so much for your we have so many listeners, and it's encouraging to see the listenership just continue to grow each week. We appreciate you being here. We're excited to have you be a part of the program. Please pass this around to others as we begin to try to digest all that's going on and allow us to help your trade associations. Bring this up at your next meeting. We look forward to talking to you and having you here again next week, back and listening to Lickin' on Lending, and we appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk to you every week. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Look forward to talking to you next Monday.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr and Scott Sanderson from MBS Quoteline, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Albee, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.